My name's Michelle Obu. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The purpose of the research is to compile a modern-day picture of Britain. The date is the 22nd of July 2009, and it's now 6:20 a.m. Could you please tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
Jason Bartholomew Hall. I'm 36, and I'm from Brighton.
Did you come up this morning?
Yeah, I came up, left at 2:30. Which was, we'd left far too much time to get up here, but it was just nice to be able to park.
Who did you come up with?
I came up with my two colleagues of mine from the Justin campaign. One of them is my boyfriend, and the other one's a Spanish girl that's just got involved with the campaign.
Can you tell me what you brought along with you today?
I've brought along the Justin Fashion New All-Stars football kit, which I'll be putting on when I get up there, and a giant football swing ball that I'll be attempting to play on there. This is a solitary football game.
Can you tell me a bit more about the Justin Fashion New?
Yeah, the Justin campaign was set up the May before last, in response, well, really it was after the 10th anniversary of his death, and we recognised, well, I recognised that nothing really had changed in world football since his death, and it seems like nobody kind of wants to remember him or talk about him. And I think talking about Justin Fashanu makes people have to confront the issue that there are gay people in football, but they're sort of being stifled or told to keep quiet about it. And that's the reason why we have started the campaign, to raise awareness about homophobia in football, to increase inclusive, to make it more accessible to people in the gay community, and just try and show, I suppose, to the rest of the world that gay people do play football, and why is it that we're not being represented, I suppose, because it seems quite strange to me that there's no out gay footballers in the world. I think it's just a bit strange.
So is this something that's prevalent throughout the world, or do you think it's specific to the UK?
It's an international thing. I mean, just recently I read in the newspaper about a Turkish referee that had been at the top of Turkish football for 13 years. He came out as gay on TV, and then the Turkish Football Federation sacked him. And their argument was that he wasn't really up to the job, but his CV and his past history reflected that he was one of the top flight referees. So he's taken them to European courts to try and sort of say, hang on, you can't just sack me because I'm gay. So that's an idea of the severity of, well, it's just trying to repress us in that sport, I suppose, which, well, in all sport, really. I'll give you an example of the guy in Australia that won the gold medal in the Olympics for the diving. Once he'd won, he went to just embrace his partner like anybody would do at the end, and I think it was CBS just cut the whole thing so that we didn't get to see it, which suggests to me that they're not comfortable with it. They need to start recognising that, you know, we're here and we ain't going to go away.
So how are you going to get your message across?
The campaign is sort of reflects my personality in a way that I'm quite fun-loving and sort of happy-go-lucky, but can be quite serious about things. And the campaign wants to try and reflect or to sort of embrace this feeling of sort of fun and not reflect on the fact that Justin Fashanu sadly committed suicide, and sort of going pointing towards the negative sides of things, but just try to be a bit uplifting and sort of bring the campaign or communicate the campaign in a way that people are responsive to it. I'll be the first person to tell you that as soon as someone starts shouting stuff at me, I'm not going to listen to it. So I'm not going to go up there, stand on a box and sort of accuse anyone of why this isn't happening. I'm just going on there to represent us and raise awareness about, one, Justin Fashanu, because people just don't know who he is generally, and just have a bit of fun really.
What other events does your campaign work organise?
We did a table football competition down in Brighton, which is a great idea because it's totally inclusive. I mean, table football nowadays, it's a thing of the past. So people are going to it with no sort of real sort of talent for it. So you've got kids and grandmas and just the whole sort of spectrum of society all sort of on a level playing field. So it was just really good fun. And we just got quite an elaborate, quite subversive avant-garde performer came down and sort of compared it. So that was something that was really good. And we'd got a five-a-side football pitch outside that was, you know, it was in the town centre of Brighton, so we've just got little kids coming down, playing, and they knew that it was a sort of gay event, but they, football, I don't care about the gay thing, football. And I think football is one of the last things that needs to change, and football's so powerful. I mean, it's, I would think that football's church to a lot of people. They just see it as God, and it's a really good tool, I suppose, to try and alter things. So yeah, that we did the table football tournament, and then we've got the Justin Fashanu Football Festival at Pride in Brighton on the August the 1st. So that's going to have some coaches, and it's going to have drag queen penalty shootout and just loads of silly but fun stuff that people can look at football and go, okay, so it's not as scary as it might seem, because a lot of people, especially in our community, have sort of been forced away from it, you know, you can't play this sort of thing. So it's about sort of encouraging the young gay people to play it, and then hopefully they won't feel the need to come out if they want to pursue a career in football. That's the aim. So it's instead of changing it within, you know, the old boy sort of network, it's sort of change it outside so that eventually we've got young gay players that don't feel the need to go into the closet to start with.
How long ago did you set up the campaign?
Set it up, not May just gone, but the May before. So what's that, May 2009, no, May 2008. And yeah, as I say, I'm brought up in Nottingham, liked football, and that's where Justin Fashanu, the sort of start of where his career went downhill. I mean, it was the first...
Turn it off.
Yeah, of course. He was the... sorry about that. I forgot what I was talking
about. You were talking about being in Nottingham and Justin Fashanu.
Justin Fashanu, yeah. Because I was brought up in Nottingham, I was having difficulty with my own sexuality, and Justin Fashanu was at Nottingham Forest. That was one of the things that I was kind of really aware that this guy had come out in football. I wasn't out at the time, so it was, I didn't really want to acknowledge it. But then to see him sort of really be damaged at Nottingham Forest by Brian Clough, pretty much destroyed his career, kicked him off the football training ground because he found out he was going to gay bars. So he got two policemen to come to the training ground and escort him off the pit, off the training field, and kicked him in the back of the leg. So, I mean, strangely enough, Brian Clough and Justin Fashanu are both my footballing heroes. And they're so woven, their careers are so sort of interlinked as to the outcome of what happened to Justin Fashanu, really. mean, it went from club to club to club, I think 15, 18 clubs. And to get abuse from the fans every time you went out, you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, he became the person that he was, and then finally committed suicide. So that was the impetus, really, to set the campaign up.
Do you think anything has changed? Do you think any progress has been made?
I think there's a lot of lip service, and there's a lot of chat within the FA about, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I mean, they were talking about making a video with top flight footballers saying that homophobia is, there's nothing wrong with gay people, homophobia is out of order, blah, blah, blah. It's all sort of chit chat, but then we confronted them about, okay, what's happening with this video? Well, we can't seem to get any footballers to endorse it. So there you go, that's that battle, really. So nobody wants to be seen to be, I suppose, saying that it's okay to be gay for the stigma that they'll get as a player. Oh, he supports gays. Is he gay? Oh, he's one of them. Do you know what I mean? So that's the difficulty of it. It's bizarre, isn't it? Because, of course, they've got sponsorship deals to consider. They've got transfer fees. You know, as soon as there's any sort of stigma related to sexuality, what are the clubs going to want to buy them? Because it's the crowd that they're frightened of. The crowd will sort of, yeah, can destroy players. I mean, Sol Campbell's getting a lot of grief. He's not, well, I don't know if he's gay or not, but Sol Campbell plays for Portsmouth. He used to play for Tottenham. Tottenham fans hate him because he went to Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. And they chanted something like, something about being insane. We want to see you hanging from a tree and dying of HIV. So the severity of what he's having to go through every time he plays against Tottenham, and the fans, the abuse that he receives, you know, I don't want to see another Justin Fashanu, but it's just, it seems to be repeating itself, which is a bit of a worry.
So what's the impact you hope that your time on the plinth will have today?
Well, hopefully there'll be some form of media that, I mean, I believe that BBC South East are coming down to interview and maybe do some filming. Obviously, the reality of the situation, I want to sort of maybe have the crowd respond or to see it. I think the impact would be through maybe Sky Arts or local press to try and raise the profile of the campaign so that we can start. I mean, we are making headway in different areas of what we're doing, but just to be sort of recognised on a larger scale to maybe enable us to get more funding to do what we're trying to do, or get endorsed by different people that, you know, are considered respectable within either TV or popular culture. So that's the purpose of it, really. And it's going to be a good laugh. See, I've been talking so seriously, now I've just got to do something daft. I don't know.
Should I
let my phone go off again?
How would you describe yourself as a person?
Quite eccentric. Not eccentric, probably more extrovert. A bit showy-offy. But quite serious in some regards. So that's the difficulty we sometimes with people, because a lot of my friends, until they really know who I am, I'll be joking, and then they say something that I think's out of order, and I'll have a pop at them about it. I say, hang on a minute, you can't say that. And they just think I'm still joking. So, yeah, it's that. Someone described me as a little kid and an old man at the same time. I kind of agree with it in some sort of way. I agree with it. I do, yeah. More so before, but I had a serious fall when I was doing a lot of class A's and booze and stuff. Climbed up a marquee, started walking across the rigging, fell 30 foot high. And then after that, I just decided to stop drinking and smoking and doing drugs and stuff.
How long ago was that?
That was 2 years ago. I think a lot of the energy that I've removed out of that sort of those activities of getting pissed and having a jolly, you know, I've had to, it seems like it's channeled itself into this, which, you know, I had to assess my life at that point. I nearly killed myself, could have killed somebody else. I got away with it. 30 foot is quite high. It's 10 foot higher than the plinth. So,
were you in hospital?
I was in hospital for 2 hours, did my x-rays, and then I was back in the pub. That's what I was like, what am I doing? I was back in the pub dancing in Brighton. Then I went home, sobered up a bit, realised what I'd just done, and then knocked it all on the head. Thought, right, that was a really good experience. I haven't hurt myself, I'm never going to do it again. I can't top that when, you know, when I'm pissed and drugged up or what. That's it. That's the finish of that bit. Time to move on. Could have gone the other way. I could be in a wheelchair, sort of addicted to whatever. And I just decided to do something good. So I just thought, yeah, this is what I'm passionate about. I'm a gay footballer. I'm an artist. You know, I've got concerns about how the world is. Let's invent something. So that's what I did.
Talk to me a bit about your artistic activity.
Well, I graduated in 99 from Leeds Met, sculpture degree. Applied for an MA at Royal College and I didn't get in. So that was quite damaging, really. I kind of thought, oh right, okay, what am I going to do now? So I just went travelling for a bit, but kind of said to myself, I don't want to do art anymore. You know, I've done 3 years of it, really intense. The nature of the course forced you to question everything. Like, it was brilliant. It was like, no, they don't tell you what to do. They left to sort of come up with whatever you wanted, which was great. You know, they allowed you to explore whatever avenues you wanted to, which was wonderful. But it was really, it made me so self-aware and analysing everything. So I was just like, this is too heavy. So I just did workshops in mental health for a bit. And then, I've had a few exhibitions here and there, but kind of lost faith in art personally, because I just felt like I was just making art for art's sake. And I thought, well, where's this going? What am I doing? You know, I'm just using the world's resources to make stuff that's beautiful for a bit. And the great thing or the bad thing about art is you just can't recycle it. Once it's been made, there's no recycling, is it? Just goes in a museum somewhere, nobody ever sees it again in a basement. And, you know, so that was my point of view. I was like, what's the point? But now I'm doing art to sort of, I'm using art in a political way.
So there's a lot of door slamming going on in the room behind us.
I was just recognised that I could use my art to change things. On a political sort of level, instead of making beauty just for beauty's sake. Well, if you consider my art to be beautiful, you might think it's awful.
Tell me a bit more about your art.
I was at the university. I was using lots of animal fat and bitumen tar, materials that were quite insecure, that never really could work out whether they were a liquid or a solid. You know, they were always sort of teetering between one state and another. Which, I mean, it's probably down, a lot of it was about my sexuality at the time, and thinking, right, I know I'm not straight, but I don't know if I'm gay. Where am I sitting on this sort of sexual spectrum of whatever, where do I lie on it? So it was a lot about contradiction. It was a lot about how am I presenting myself as heterosexual, and it was like everything. So it was these two states of, where am I? You know, I'm sort of floating around in this sort of space, not knowing really where I am. So that was about, you know, liquid and solid and all of that. So that's what I was doing at university, and then it sort of...
How has it changed now?
It's moved into sport and gay politics. And I pimped up a table football table. So it's fuchsia pink with De Montes on it. Looks really, really camped up. And the thought behind that was I took it to a university, a sports university in Brighton. And my thoughts were I wanted to monitor it to see which guys would have the confidence to want to play the football but were insecure about it because it was quite camp. And quite interesting because a lot of guys were like really into it. You know, it was blinged up, you know, it had been pimped up, it was great, and they didn't see it as a camp thing. And then there was the other guys that were kind of like, you could tell that they wanted to play it, but there was lots of girls around, it was in a refectory, and they felt a little bit like, well, if I do that, well, you know, it's a little bit gay, isn't it? So it was, that's what I was trying to toy with. The bait was the football, but they had to get through the sort of the gay bit to play the football. So that was the idea for that. And it was titled, Are You Coming Out to Play Football?
Are you still making things now? Do you still make things?
I made the thing that's going to be on the plinth over the last 2 weeks. I'm going to start to make stuff that's interactive, related to sport. So there'd be sort of interactive sculptures that are a little bit absurd. So I might combine tennis with darts, with badminton, with bowling, you know, so you've got these quite strange, organic, interactive sculptures. So I'm trying to combine sport, but make it interesting. Sport to a lot of people is like, ugh, how boring is this? Do you know what I mean? Because it's so, there's no colour in it, it's so regimented. I mean, if you looked at the table football that I'd got, it was so dull. It's just like laminated crappy formica and a dark green table. It's like, who wants to play on that? It's shit. Do you know what I mean? It's like a dartboard. How boring. If you just covered it in glitter, do you know what I mean? Diamante'd it up, everyone would want to sort of chuck a dart at it. So that's what I want to do. I want to sort of put an interesting edge on sport, because for me, sport, especially football and fine art, don't go together. I mean, if you think of artists that deal with sport, I mean, remember those dog pictures where they're playing pool, stuff like that. So you got that, or really crappy sort of lightly penciled in pictures of footballers, sort of to the head and shoulders, or no, horse racing. It's really boring, isn't it? And you can see why art and football, I mean, you're talking high sort of middle class, upper class, or fine art, you know, and then the bookies and all that. It's just, these things have never really, football never really merged. But I think coming in at it from who I am as a sort of gay activist, it makes everything sort of seem quite interesting. So, yeah, that's where I'm headed.
Is there anything else you'd like to see?
Yeah. I was in the Turbine Gallery on May the 2nd, which is the anniversary of Justin Fashanu's death, in the Turbine at the Tate Modern. I did a minute's silence at the Tate Modern for Justin Fashanu. I thought I'd drop that in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.